we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We trust that you are having a great day, and I just really want to encourage you to not forget to listen to some of these broadcasts over the coming days. I feel very strongly about these. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island, Florida, and we would love to have you come and partner with us as we do our best to reach Central Brevard County with the love of Jesus Christ, as well as touching our nation and our world. We have local, national, and international missions that we do, and we have spots available. We have ministry needs that the only thing that we are waiting on is for God to send laborers into the harvest field. And so if you would join us in praying that God would do that, if he would lead the appropriate people to Merritt Assembly of God, there is so much that we would like to do that we just need laborers to accomplish. So thank you for tuning in. And like I said, please pay attention or do your best to listen to these broadcasts. Hopefully they will speak something to you that will be edifying to you. I feel so strongly about this word that I can't really put it into words as to how important I feel this is. So let's get back to Galatians chapter 5. We got a little ways yesterday, and we're going to take another step today, if you will. Yesterday, we took the first step in this journey, and that is, our first step was to ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life, where the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of us. And then we start walking in the Spirit. And so that was what we were talking about yesterday, contrasting walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26 today, where it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." So we're talking about walking in the Spirit. So you know that you are walking in the Spirit when you are not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. That's the Spirit is not going to do that. Your carnal nature and the Spirit of God are warring against one another. And so you know that the Spirit of God is not leading you if the destination is the fulfillment of your carnal nature. Okay, that's the first thing. If you drop down to verse number 26, you will see that you are not walking in the Spirit if you are conceited, arrogant, boastful, proud, full of yourself, consumed with yourself, only interested in yourself. If it's all about you and not about others, that is not the Spirit of God that is leading. Because if you remember a few days ago when we were talking about this chapter, it says, but through love, serve one another. And again, up in Galatians 5, 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. When the Spirit of God is leading, you are going to be impacting people's lives with the unconditional love of God. And you're going to need the Spirit of God. If you're going to influence, now I will tell you this, the Spirit of God will influence you before you can positively influence others that you come in contact with. And if you are being moved by the Spirit to minister to other people, you are going to need the Spirit of God in you, because hurting people hurt people. It's what they do. It is just what they do. And so you're going to need that healing. So you're not going to be provoking one another in an angry manner. You're not going to be causing things to escalate. You are going to be provoking one another to good works. You're going to be provoking one another in a positive manner. But this is saying, let us not become conceited, and let us not provoke one another. And the context of this verse is in a negative manner. You're not going to be intentionally trying to raise the ire of other believers in Christ. You're not going to be sowing seeds of strife. You're not going to be sowing discord. You're not going to be trying to make people angry on purpose. That's just not going to happen. You know, reality television is all about pushing people's buttons, it seems. You and I are not there to push their buttons that are going to make them angry. Instead, we're there to touch them with the love of Jesus. And it says, envying one another. When the Spirit of God, when you're on a journey with Him, you're not going to be jealous of other people, because you know that when you are walking with God the Holy Spirit, that every blessing that God has already been made available to you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every spiritual, He has given to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. When you have been given everything that pertains to godliness, you don't have to feel jealous or envious if somebody else gets healed. When you have been given everything that pertains to life, you don't have to be jealous of somebody else's car or somebody else's house or someone else's promotion. You don't have to be jealous about anything. You're not going to be envying what they have, because you know that God has every good and perfect gift, every gift that is perfect for you. So thank God. Those are some of the things that are not the goal of a life led by the Holy Spirit. So I made this statement towards the end of the broadcast yesterday, that we are walking in a minefield, and the carnal nature is warring against the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is waging this holy war against your carnal nature. And I want you to know that in Acts chapter 9, I'm going to turn over there so I can read it to you. Acts chapter 9, there was a guy by the name of Saul who was very zealous for the things of God, but they had to be, you know, according to his way. And so he was persecuting the church, and all of a sudden he was on the road to Damascus, And as it says in verse number 3, Acts 9:3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I want you to know that Saul is not the only one who's ever kicked against the proddings of God. A goad, or a prick, as it is called in another translation, was a sharp pointed object that they would use to try and corral an animal that was going the wrong direction. It was a device a shepherd would use. And if they continued to kick, they continued to get poked. But if they were going the path that the shepherd wanted them to travel, then the prodding stopped. If they were immobile and they were supposed to be mobile, they would feel the goad again. If they were going the wrong direction, they would feel the goad. And a lot of times we can look at biblical figures and we can see that they are not, or we can see them and think that they're the only ones that has gone through that. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is constantly working in our lives to get us mobilized, because you and I are the saints of God. And the gospel has been committed to us once and for all, it says in the letter of Jude right before Revelation. And so you are God's A-team, the plan to reach this world. All 7 billion people are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And there's no plan B. There's no plan B. So what will it take for you and I to say yes to the plan of God and to the will of God? And so there's the Holy Spirit is constantly moving in our life, trying to get us to move away from walking in our carnal nature and to walk in the Spirit. Our sin nature constantly fights for more and more control of our lives, but the Holy Spirit is fighting for us. I have this video. I believe I originally saw it on a news site, and I watched the video, and I consider it to be one of the greatest evangelism videos that I have ever seen. And it doesn't involve human beings. It involves three different types of animals. It involves a water buffalo. It involves a pride of lions. And it involves a crocodile. And these water buffalo are walking, I believe it's Kruger National or Wildlife Refuge in South Africa, I believe is where it was. And these people are watching, they're filming as it goes on. They're on a photo safari, and they're watching this herd of water buffalo, and they're walking along the water, and there's these pride of lions, and the water buffalo don't see the pride of lions until they're relatively close to them. And the lions naturally decide to go after the very youngest. And so they begin chasing the herd until one of the water buffalo, one of the calves, is separated from the flock. So there's two lessons to be learned in that. The first is that you and I, we cannot afford to be immature. We cannot afford to remain naive spiritually. We need to grow up and be able to know how to use the weapons that God has given us in Ephesians chapter 6. And the second is we cannot be detached or separated. We cannot be on this journey alone. It is very important for us to have relationship. And so I want to encourage you, don't just go to church, but have spiritually in-depth relationships with the people that you worship with. You need them and they need you. So this pride of lions, they have separated the youngest from the herd, and now they are dragging it away. And just like many believers who abandon the wounded, the rest of the herd goes off, at least they didn't get me. In the meantime, this one calf is trying to fight off five or six or seven adult lions. And in their struggle, remember, this is taking place on the water's edge, and they end up into the water, and the lions are going, and they're trying to get in, trying to get the water buffalo out. And just about the time that they are to pull the water buffalo out of the water, a crocodile comes up and grabs the other end of the water buffalo. And so now you've got four or five lions who are trying to pull the lion or the water buffalo one direction and the crocodile pulling it another direction. I don't know if you have ever felt like you were in a tug of war with the forces of darkness having both ends, but that was what was going on. And believe it or not, I was surprised to see this. And in the meantime, the commentary that is going on in the background is he's a goner. He's done for. He's dead. The lions have won. And then all of a sudden the crocodile comes and it's like, he's done for. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around people who were so convinced that you were going to be destroyed, but they forgot to take into consideration the fact that God still has a purpose and a destiny for you. And I want you to know today that darkness might be, you know, trying to destroy you, but there is a miracle coming your way. So believe it or not, the pride of lions actually win, and they drag the water buffalo out of the crocodile's jaws. And so now there's a scar on the one end and there's a scar on the other end. And the people making the commentary are saying, that's it. He's done for. He's up on dry ground and there's not a lot of movement that is going on. And you think, well, he's done for. Until all of a sudden, something took place in one of the water buffalo, one of the adults. Maybe it was the calf's mama, I don't know. Maybe it was the bull that was the alpha male of the flock. Maybe it was him that said, that's my calf. I don't know. I don't know if it was male. I don't know if it was female. But all of a sudden, one of those water buffaloes says, you know what? I think I can make a difference in that young calf's life. And he puts his own life at risk and begins to attack the lions. And he puts them into retreat mode. And pretty soon it is not just, and I happen to really like this. I like lions, but I happen to like this video because you see him get his horns underneath one of the lions, and one of the lions just goes flying through the air with the greatest of ease. And then because this one bold water buffalo steps up to deliver this calf, others in the flock are emboldened. And what was originally six or seven lions, it begins to diminish one by one. And pretty soon the buffalo are chasing the lions instead of the lions chasing the buffalo. And I want you to know that after a while and a number of buffalo getting involved in the process, and much to the surprise of the tourists who were giving the commentary, the calf manages to escape. The crocodile, he's already escaped from, but he manages to escape all of the lions, and he's able to rejoin the herd. All because something took place inside the herd, and they said, you know what? We're in a war. We're in a war, and God is fighting for us. And other believers are rejoicing with us and other believers are fighting. And so, listen, when pastors preach on sin, I want you to understand that it is not because they hate you. It is because they love you and they want you to win the war. The only way to win is to walk in the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead you through the minefield of life. You see, in verse number 18, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So what begins as a walking with, it is suddenly becomes evident that you and I, we need the Holy Spirit to be the one who leads. You see, we in society are such control freaks that we really struggle with this. And I don't know why, because, you know, the other day when I was flying, I was on four flights in an 8-day period of time, and never one time did they ask me to take control of the aircraft and to fly the aircraft. They never did. They probably knew that it would be best if the trained pilot who knew the ins and outs of the aircraft was actually the one sitting in the cockpit. I don't know about you, but I would much rather him have been flying that plane than me flying that plane, because I don't know what buttons to push. I don't know what levers to control. I don't know how to run the radio. The only thing that I know how to do is to control the vent over my seat and the light that shines on it, and to call the flight attendant if I needed to. That's all I knew how to do. It would be arrogant on my part to think that they should put me in leadership of that aircraft. And I can tell you, if they did, everybody would be getting off. You and I, we need the Holy Spirit to lead. When I was in high school, we used to go, we used to be able to go off campus to area restaurants, which was a very short trip. There'd be four or five of us. We'd jump in a car and we'd go. And as we were driving, the discussion would be, well, where do you want to go eat? Now, I don't know if you've ever had those discussions, but at some point in time, somebody's got to make a decision and say, you decide, you lead us to the restaurant where we're going to go have lunch. We just didn't want to have the food that the school was providing. But it requires leadership. And God is the best person to lead. He's the best leader that mankind has ever known. There are leadership schools that teach God's leadership practices that he wrote about in God's word. They've put different names on it. They've relabeled it, but it's still God's principle. I want you to know that in Psalm 23, it says that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And listen to a couple of the passages that talk about what happens with the Lord being the shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he leads, I'm going to have provision. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. When the Lord leads, I'm going to have rest. He leads me beside the still waters. When he leads, my thirst is going to be quenched. He restores my soul. When he leads, I'm going to be healthy emotionally. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in a manner that is going to be glorifying to him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When he leads, fear is banished, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, not one time in that passage did David ever say that he was the leader. You see, one of the things that made David a great king was he knew that God had put him there. God kept him there. And as long as he had purpose, he was still going to remain there. David knew that God was the best leader. Solomon knew that he could not lead the people of God without God giving him the wisdom to lead. No matter how wonderful a leader you are, God is better qualified to lead. He has a better track record than you. When we let our carnal nature lead, life is going to be hard work. You see, life is hard on its own merit because we live in a fallen society. We live in a fallen atmosphere. Life is hard, but a life chasing the pleasures of sin is exponentially more difficult. It's much harder. So which would you rather do? Would you rather lead, or would you rather God, who has awareness of where you are, every thought that you think, every need that you have, who is better qualified to lead? You see, it doesn't take any special skills to lead to destruction. But it takes God being in control to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you and I, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to successfully lead you. I tell people one of my favorite principles of all time is that God always leads his people in triumphal procession. Now, if you like defeat, you go ahead. You try it. Do it your way. But if you like victory, if you like trouncing the enemy, if you like having your needs met, having your enemies frustrated, you need the Holy Spirit leading your life. Step number one, walking in the Holy Spirit. Step number two is allowing God to lead you and guide you and bring you to the destination that he has for you. So the works of the flesh are described in Galatians chapter 5, and I'll close with this statement here today, and that is this. The works of the flesh will manifest in sexual, spiritual, emotional, and relational problems, as well as corrupting the teaching of God's word. If you allow your carnal nature to lead, your misery index is going to go sky high. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you into all truth, keep you on the straight and narrow, I tell you, the joy of the Lord is going to manifest in you, and you're going to experience the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost that is the kingdom of God. God bless you. Have a great day. Tomorrow will be prayer day right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We'll see you then.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.